take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Kia ora, Manon. How are you this morning?
Kia ora, Rachel. I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm very well. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm excited to hear about some books. What have you brought us today?
Yeah, so I have a book called Cold Enough for Snow by Jessica Au. And she's a Melbourne-based writer and editor, and this is her second book, and it's a slim novella, I guess. It's only about 100 pages. And yeah, it sort of recently won the inaugural novel prize, which is like a joint prize run by these three publishers, Fitzcarraldo, Girimondo, and New Directions.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, yeah, just some of the world's like most interesting literary publishers right now, I'd say, and I can really see why she's been chosen for the prize. It's just like an incredibly subtle, deeply thought, artful kind of work. I think it took her like about a decade to write, and you can really sense that. You know, she said she's a really slow writer and holds thoughts in her head for a long time before putting them on a page.
Mm.
Yeah, you can really feel that. I think I described it to Jenna the other day as like a slippery whisper of a book.
Ooh, nice.
And yeah, which it kind of is and isn't, because it really sticks with you. But yeah, it reminded me a little of like Katie Kitamura or Rachel Cusk,
mm-hmm.
like the way that it has that kind of digressive interiority and messes with time. But so yeah, it follows just this narrator, a kind of nameless young woman, and her mother as they travel through Japan. And they're kind of traversing like train stations in Tokyo and restaurants and visiting like rural churches and museums and, you know, just doing the tourist stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in the process, the narrator is kind of drifting between past and present via these memories that rise up to the surface. And they eventually kind of give a little bit of background to her mother's life, who grew up poor in rural China and Hong Kong, and eventually migrated to like a nameless Western country. I kind of read it as Australia, but
right.
It's never really named.
Right.
Yeah, when she was a young woman. And you just really get this sense of like displacement and loss that's reverberated through the generations.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in one section, like the narrator actually recalls like her sister's memory of going to visit their mother's family in Hong Kong as a child,
mm-hmm.
and just like feeling extremely alienated and alone, and not really speaking Cantonese at all, and just yeah, struggling to feel like this family is at all, you know, her own, and. Yeah, but it, as I said, it kind of flickers between that and the trip that they're taking together. And her relationship with her mum is kind of somewhat detached, but also really tender. Like, you can sort of really sense there's this gulf between them, particularly kind of just philosophically and intellectually really different, and you can sense how they've lived such different lives. You know, she'll be like analyzing paintings and architecture, and her mum's just sort of looking at her blankly, and you can sense that she's grown up with a much more of a luxury of, you know, university education. And some reviewers have even suggested that it's like possibly even a ghost story, that like her mum isn't actually there. Yeah, because she's got this incredible sort of like bareness to her presence. And
oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I felt that too, and I think it could definitely be seen that way, but I think also that interpretation just kind of goes to show the kind of ghostliness of her presence and how little the daughter truly knows of her mother. And
this sounds fascinating.
It's so wonderful, and it's so understated. It's like such a, you kind of, it's one of those books where you don't really know how you've reached a certain feeling or sense of something beneath the surface, but it's very much there. And the prose is really achieves that by it's just that super tight, clean, stripped back kind of prose, you know. I think Helen Garner said that it was like so calm and clear and deep that she wanted it to flow forever.
Ooh, lush.
And, yeah, and I think that Jessica Oh has said that, like, before writing the novella, she read a lot of, like, 19th and 20th century Japanese writers, because she kind of really was going for that kind of indirectness to the prose, where there's, like, you know, lots of polite conversations going on, but then when you listen hard enough, there's, like, a lot to work out about what's going on underneath.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like a really amazing way to maybe access a new writer as well, having a little tight, beautifully crafted piece like this. Feels like an exciting way to experience somebody whose writing maybe is new to you or new to lots of people by the sounds of things. Remind us of the name and the book again, Manon.
Yeah, definitely. So Jessica Au, and the book is called Cold Enough for Snow.
Amazing. Is it on the shelves now?
It is. I think we have one in stock, and we've got a few more on the way, which should be there hopefully this week.
Excellent. So everyone can race to time out for that one copy or put themselves on the wait list.
I always choose these books where we have like one left. I'm so sorry.
No, it's
but
great.
It'll be there soon.
Hey, thank you, Manon. This sounds really beautiful. We'll put all the links for people up in the podcast after the show. Have a great rest of your morning.
Thanks, Rachel. You too.
Bye.
That was Loose Reads.
Thank you so much.